Man is now the ultimate power in the universe.
The Pat and AJ Podcast.
Well, because they got great banter. They jib-jab, 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 jib-jab.
Pat and AJ.
I feel like the conversation we've been having in the last 5 minutes is a lot more interesting than the shit they're talking about on the radio. Just moronic commentary and stupid sound effects, and it's just dumb. It doesn't make any sense.
It's the Pat and AJ Podcast.
It's the Pat and AJ Podcast.
All of us should have a friend. By the way, rest in peace, Steve Mongo McMichael, Chicago Bear, Super Bowl champion from the greatest team that ever played the sport, and former Four Horsemen, WCW pro wrestler. He just died a few minutes ago, and so all the Chicagoans and now we're all talking about it. But it was funny because Steve McMichael, he had ALS. That's a Lou Gehrig's disease.
It's bad.
So for years he'd been in bad shape, but very public about it, right?
I think that's good. Yeah,
very public about it. Even lived long enough to see himself get inducted to the NFL Hall of Fame. That was a beautiful thing. But one should only remember this. I don't care who it is in your life that you may be thinking going through something. This is the power, ladies. I don't think you quite understand. There's great footage of world famous professional wrestler Ric Flair. Give me a woo.
Woo!
Thank you very much. Ric Flair, the Nature Boy, swung by to see his good friend, Steve McMichael. All laid up, ALS in the house, you know. And what is Ric Flair doing? As he's chopping it up with his old friend, he is FaceTiming women that he knows to show their boobs to Steve Mongo McMichael as he sits afflicted with ALS in his home.
I love that.
And every single time he's like, hey, Mongo, look at that right here. McMichael got like a little smirk on his face. Like,
because you know what he doesn't want when people come visit him is like...
to treat him like an asshole.
Treat him like an asshole. Or just, you know, kind of pity party him. Treat him like...
Right. You imagine that. You're like a big bad NFL player. And then like the final, you know, 10 years of your life, people come over and look at you like, oh.
Yeah, he doesn't want that. Flair. Treat him like he used to.
Ric Flair came
show
over.
Show him boobies.
Ric Flair comes over drunk FaceTiming women, you know?
Cool.
Good for you. That's a life. So just... ladies,
show your boobs to dying men. Is that the moral of your story?
Maybe if you have someone in your life that needs some cheering up, maybe your husband. Maybe your husband's on his deathbed. I'm sure, you know, we were just talking about this.
Yeah, because I'm sure he would complain any other day if we sent pictures of our boobs.
We were talking, you know, we were talking about this the other day with your mom. And it was funny because, you know, your dad was on his deathbed. And I was like, you know, I bet you the old man would have probably appreciated one last little, you know.
One little
flash.
Feel, yeah.
One little cop of feel, you know.
He would have, yeah.
Again, guys, right?
He had Playboy in the bathroom when I was a kid.
Hey, welcome on in. It is the 268th episode of the Pat and AJ Podcast. Hope everyone is doing well. AJ, you went to Flint, Michigan.
Back to the Hate 10.
You went. Now, I think it's important to let people know what you did kind of when we left. Because famously, this is where we lived before we were here in Tucson.
7 years.
We were 7 years from what? 2014
to 2021.
There you go. And when we moved, you kind of vamoosed.
Well, it was during the pandemic, kind of the tail end. It was May of 2021.
Yeah.
But still, we were not back to normal in any way, shape, or form yet. I mean, masks, all that stuff. People were still not having gatherings and parties and stuff like that. So I was like, I can't really have like a going away get together or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's really hard for me. Like, I don't do well with those. So I kind of did the Irish goodbye where I just slipped on out and drove to Arizona. So, yeah, I went back.
Now, you went back to do some work, some freelance work. But in kind of the midst of the freelance work, you turned it into, you know, it's like the old Johnny Carson special, Johnny Goes Home. It's a real thing.
Yeah.
They just showed Johnny Carson going to Nebraska.
So a friend of mine is working on a nonprofit, and I love this because we had her on the show in 2015 on our morning show when she had just really come up with and started going forward on this nonprofit she created called Ireland's Dream, and her daughter's name is Ireland, and she has cerebral palsy. And remember, she came on our show and was talking about, I think it was the 5K was the first thing she was doing to raise money.
Yeah.
And I remember feeling bad for her because I'm like, this has got to be so hard because she has such a long way to go. Now, here we are 10 years later. I taught her kids Irish dance, so we kind of became friends through that. And we always supported her nonprofit. And now she's got property. She actually has, the sign says future home of Ireland's Dream.
And then Ireland's Dream will function as?
As a facility for kids and I think even adults with CP where they can get free treatments. Just all those barriers, because both Megan and her husband are doctors. Mm-hmm. So they're like, we want a place where these kids can go get, you know, treatment and therapies, and it doesn't cost them anything.
There's that magic word.
Yes, cost. Well, they also said a lot of how they treat people with CP is palliative care, where it's just like, we're just going to try to keep you where you're at.
Well, yeah, there's no cure. Like, you know, we're not in there like a cancer trying to eradicate something. Yeah. Instead, it's about
maintaining.
Therapies, probably being able to make sure you're functioning at your maximum ability.
But she said in the medical world, they just kind of try to keep like, okay, we're just going to manage your condition.
Yeah.
She said they don't try to, push you, advance you. Mm. And she's like, that's what we do with our daughter. And they're doing great things. They want to get her one of those things where like her eyes move and it talks for her.
Oh yeah.
Like a machine. And they're like, we just want parents to know that like there's more for their kids out there, and we don't want them to go into debt to do it. So anyways, I was there to film a new video for them because I had filmed a video for them 5 years ago, right before I left for Arizona. And she was kind enough to fly me out to do another video. So I was there doing that.
There's a funny video.
Please donate to Ireland's Dream.
Yeah. Give all.
Seriously,
it's
though,
all tax deductible.
She's so close. And I know it's just exhausting begging for money, but they're so close to having this dream come true.
Hey, listen, all you Michiganders, your next profit sharing check, when it comes through with GM, I want you to give it to Ireland's Dream.
I know you want to buy a camper because
I know you do.
We used to see our neighbors roll through the neighborhood with the new campers and new boats when profit
come
sharing
on.
Came. Just throw just them a couple hundred bucks. All right.
One of them. It's the most awesome thing in the world. But two, it's making me think of, because you said how they want to hook Ireland up with some equipment to help her communicate a little bit better. There's this guy that I follow now. He has it has to be CP or like one of those, but he communicates. He's in a chair and he communicates with his little computer thing.
Yes.
With the eyes or something, but he has a speaker on it, so you can hear it, right?
That's what they're looking to get
cool.
her, yeah.
Except now this kid, he's a teenager, and I want you to remember, teenagers are teenagers, despite whatever kind of difference they have.
Well, and that was one of the things Megan mentioned.
Remember that.
Even in the video, she's like, you know, she's 13 and she reads at a 13-year-old level.
That's a 13-year-old chick.
It's, you know, even though she can't talk, like she's a 13-year-old.
This kid I follow on the gram, his thing is him and his mom and his brother go out to do stuff. And he types the most inappropriate thing into.
I gotta send these to Megan. Send next
the,
time
keyboard,
it pops up.
And he says stuff like, "She drugs me to keep me in the chair."
They'll be in like the middle of Walmart.
Oh yeah, and like his fucking mom's losing her mind. Like his brother records it all.
So maybe they don't want one of those.
But it really did me, you know. But as funny as it is, I thought it was such a great kind of awareness video because I said, you know, we do tend to, I don't know why, when people have disabilities, developmental delays, any kind of neurodivergencies, yeah, we forget that they developed oftentimes the same way that other people do, and they can be funny and they can be, God, one of my favorite.
We don't need to dumb it down. Like, you can have a like, Ireland so clearly knew what her parents were saying. She would react by putting her hand out and touching their hand if she
right?
wanted
like,
something.
Yeah, there's no.
And she already had one of those machines. It was really cool. It's not where it talks with her eyes, but she uses her eyes to color in an entire screen.
Yeah.
And then she was like, hey, if you color in the screen, you can play Space Invaders. And she basically, it was like a little alien was on the screen and she used her eyes to blow it up. I mean,
yeah.
There, you could, there, human human beings. You can talk to them like normal, you know?
Yeah, it's not like, well, you know, just how we started this off talking about old McMichael with ALS, you know? Well, by the way,
that guy trapped in his body.
By the way, I should say, too, he did play one season for the Packers, all right? So shut the fuck up. All the Packers fans were like, stop talking about a bear.
I don't feel like Packers fans hold on to him.
Even though he did make fun of it, he said, to all the Bears fans who cursed me out for playing one season for the Packers, he goes, I stole money from them. He said it was my body was broken down. I had no right playing the game. I hoosegowed your biggest enemy team into giving me money. So that should make you proud that I did not go there and play well. I went there to ride the bench. But no, I mean, just where he wants to still be wooed at by Ric Flair when Ric Flair shows up at his house, he doesn't want Ric Flair to go, how you doing, buddy?
Exactly.
And the same way Ireland doesn't need people coming up going, hi!
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, why the fuck do we always turn up our volume when we think people need to hear us?
I don't know.
This is universal, whether it's...
it doesn't matter. It's not just if they think you're hard of hearing. It's anytime
if you're in a foreign language.
Foreign language.
If you have someone, you know, that you think can't understand your English, saying it slower and louder is not going to help. Senor... Sir,
that doesn't
can
help.
Can you tell me? Yeah. No,
we do it with everybody. It's
speak
so stupid.
Fucking normal, but yeah, I mean, those are those little things that you forget. Ireland is,
and it was funny.
Plenty of kids like her are just developing like every other teenager.
She
out there.
Doesn't like to wear shoes and socks, so we were at one of her brother's baseball games. I know.
Case in point,
coming from barefoot Pat over here. Do not. Did you wash your feet today? Oh, you took a shower.
Thank God. Today.
Your feet were fucking filthy.
Yeah, they'll be dirty within an hour. Don't
gross.
Worry.
Clean the floor on your own. Ireland took her socks and shoes off. Did you just hit the mic? You
a little
okay?
bit. Sorry about that.
It's so funny. She took her socks and shoes off at her brother's baseball game, and I was the only one standing next to her. And I was like, hey, can you hand me your sock? Because they're like, sometimes she'll throw it. But I just put my hand out, and I said, hey, Ireland, can I have your sock? And she handed it to me. Yeah. So she, you know, throw it out in the mud. But yeah, it's just ridiculous. Like, she is a 13-year-old kid.
Yeah. So Ireland's Dream is the name of the 501(c).
Yes.
They're coming up with the funds to build the facility out. And where is it technically?
Davison. It's right off 69.
Yeah. So AJ was out there the whole weekend. She's in Flint Easter weekend, right?
I was, yeah.
She got to see Jesus walking down Dort Highway with a cross.
That is not a joke.
I said, if Jesus is on Dort Highway with a cross, he took a wrong fucking turn.
I was driving to Broome Park.
You think the Middle East is rough right now, pal?
Well, you know, there's just so many protests going on right now that I'm like, I'm driving to Broome Park, and I pull up to an intersection, and there's a dollar, like at a Dollar General, and I see a bunch of people walking down the sidewalk. I'm like, oh, it must be a protest. And then I realized the two guys in front were carrying a gigantic cross.
That's how fucking weird our society is right now.
I'm like, oh, it's
you
not
see
like
a bunch of
a
people.
Protest.
You're like, all right, what are they saying? Fuck Tesla. No. Those are people saying, Jesus. Okay, those are
risen.
Jesus people.
It was actually kind of refreshing that it wasn't political. I was like, oh, well, that's nice. It's Easter.
And then there's like another one like 2 miles up, and there are a bunch of white people, and they're like, support the fucking president, you commie. Fucking Flint.
It was clearly a church thing, but I, again, refreshing, not politics.
Tell me how our dear Flint is doing. How is Genesee County? I have not been back since I left, which was literally the day after my son finished eighth grade.
Yeah.
He graduated eighth grade, and we boogied right out to Arizona. I'd like to come back. I mean, you know, eventually, but you know, how's everything been? It's been like 4 or 5 years since we've been there. So, I mean, landscapes change.
Well, I'll tell you what hasn't changed is that there are no Uber and Lyft drivers on weeknights in Flint. I was stranded at the airport.
Do you think people in fucking Flint, Michigan are getting in the cars with strangers? No. Do you think this concept ever penetrated within Genesee County?
My flight was late. We didn't get until like 12:07 a.m. And of course, you know, the car rental counter shut down.
Yeah.
So in my head, I'm like, no problem. I'll just get a Lyft. And shit you not, like after 30 minutes, both Uber and Lyft were like, sorry, can't find you a driver. And I took this, like, it was like a guy who does a car service. It was like Miller Transportation. Like, he came and picked me up because he's like, yeah, it's a problem. There's no, like, ride shares. That hasn't changed. However, it did feel like I had never left, which I wasn't expecting. I thought I would feel kind of like an outsider. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of people say hi to me that I don't know this weekend. So if you said hi and I said hi back, thank you. And if I didn't recognize you, I am so sorry. But it was really cool. You definitely, it's weird coming back after the pandemic and see what didn't make it.
I was going to say, how many of our favorite haunts are still standing? How many are not?
Some are, some are not. There's, it's a
Starlight's still around, right?
Starlight's still around. Paul's Coney Island is not on Center, which was one of our favorites. It's right by the station.
Man, I love
that
Paul's.
Broke my heart.
They had this steak and egg special. I swear to Christ.
It is something else now. It is a different kind of restaurant, but it's not Paul's.
We all know Paul's because they were involved with the meat wars of Center Road, which is a real thing. Look it up with the former Sheriff Fickell. It literally... There is corruption. There is meat being stolen. meat being hijacked.
Yeah, it was a big deal.
It was amazing. But they had a fucking steak and eggs that you could get there. If you ordered the big one, they'd ask you, you want the little one or the big one? If you said the big one, these motherfuckers brought out a 24-ounce New York strip in the middle of the day with about a half a pound of potatoes, two eggs, half a loaf of bread.
They didn't mess around. It was so good.
$11.99.
Yeah, it was good shit.
Out the door. That's why he had to bootleg the meat, because he had to keep the prices so low.
I did realize how...
Who owns Paul's now? Is it still Paul's or something else?
I think it's called Freddy's or something
it's
like
not
that.
Owned by a Greek man. I'm not showing up.
Food prices, a lot lower than they are here. Like, because I was going to say,
are you kind of now West... I mean, West Coast is always, even though we're not at the water, trust me, we're close enough to where, you know, things do tend to cost more. And if you can't figure it out, people have more money. I tell my son this all the time. Go from the bad neighborhood to the good neighborhood. Tell me why gas costs different.
Because people have the money.
People have the money. So
it was really refreshing being able to go to, like, I think I got like I picked up a turkey club from Leo's, mm-hmm. and it was like $12, and I was like, yeah. It was so good.
You sound like our good friends Jenny Boom. And her man, Aaron, they were both Flintstones who ended up moving out to San Francisco. And I remember we linked up with them. We talked to them one time when they had come back for something. And that was the number one thing. You kind of talk about what's it like being native, you know, mid-Michigan people, and now you're in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like just the epicenter of so many things. And that was the first thing. They're like, oh, we love the prices back here now.
Oh, my God. It was so great.
You can't leave the house. Like, I think they said you can't leave the house in San Francisco without spending $50.
No.
Like, you step outside your door, $50 leaves
your fucking pocket. Never a time, and I met friends out everywhere, coffee houses, restaurants. Yeah. I don't think I spent more than $25 at any one place, which was really nice. Gas, though. Gas was more expensive in Flint than it is here. Yeah, by about 10 cents.
Wonder why that is. Well, maybe because we're closer to where the gas is. I mean, where do we get our gas from like the water, so the Gulf and
just buy it,
the Gulf of whatever. I'm not trying to get us sued. I know if we call the Gulf by the wrong name, we get sued. Ugh. Never thought I'd say that in my life, but I feel like maybe we're closer to where the oil and where the gas is refined. That's why it's cheaper for us.
Plus, I cannot confirm any of that, but okay.
Other prices that are cheap here by the border, cocaine, you know, meth, fentanyl. Really, you guys get a huge
dental
markup.
Work over the border, a lot cheaper. Yeah, it was really, I think that's
so hard. It's a lower cost. Yes. But I mean, it's a small Midwest town.
But what made me sad about being there was just seeing the difference in, it was like, and I've talked to many people about this, Flint, when we were there, was trying so hard to come back, and it was
they were pushing.
It was so cool to see it and be part of it, and it's like, the pandemic just shit all over that. And driving down from Saginaw Street from downtown all the way to Grand Blanc, because I met somebody downtown Flint. I met somebody in Grand Blanc. Just seeing the difference in what's being developed and what's not.
Yeah.
Grand Blanc is exploding, and everything towards Flint is not. And it just made me sad, because I felt like they had pushed through all that and the pandemic just ruined all of it. But
that was the coolest part of that. Remember that Flint documentary about the cops?
Yeah.
Came out on Netflix in like 2016, where they got it on film that all the Flint police support of Trump. That was real good for the time. That's what you wanted was on the, that on right. camera. But I remember when they were shooting that, there's a scene where they're at some party store on Dort Highway, North End, maybe Saginaw, whatevs. But you hear the cop bitch at the owner because he's like, you know, you kind of curate this environment here, which causes problems.
Yeah.
By just the nature of what you're selling and what you're doing. And he goes, but then you pack up and you get to go home to Grand Blanc.
Grand Blanc, yeah.
And these people have to stay here.
Yes.
Which was always kind of like, which if you ever wondered, I felt like that divide between the two towns.
It's and I
mean, that was pretty well on display.
It's worse now that since we left, and it just makes me so sad. Although, shout out to the Flint Farmers Market, man. I had to go back, and I am so glad I
did. Still going strong.
And just so you know, you can put too much fudge in your bag, your checked bag to go overweight at the airport.
I forgot about this.
I bought a bunch of Mackinac fudge. I bought some cider donuts from Porter's Orchard. Everything was very heavy and it did put my bag overweight. I had to just carry it on a plane. But it was cool. It was cool going to new restaurants and stuff that weren't there when we were there, to meet people. And that was a lot of fun. I'm like, I'm only here for a little while. I want to squeeze in as many people as I can, but I didn't really make plans. Cause like, I didn't know what our shooting schedule would be. So I'm like, that has to come first. Then when I have free time, I will text people and say, hey, you got an hour for me. And everybody made time for me, which was just so
you did.
Meaningful.
You saw a lot of people. She even saw compadres from the old radio station.
Sure did. We went to Puzzlers. Food is so good at Puzzlers. I forgot how good it is.
Good old Michigan comfort food in all those places. Yeah, they don't do, how can I say, greasy bomb, like that kind of greasy gut bomb food is, I feel like, more suited for the Midwest. Definitely
it's hard to find
for the East
here.
Coast out here.
When you want to find it, you got to look, and it sucks. Like,
it's hotter. You know, no one's eaten, and I quote from Puzzlers, I believe there is a... Ultimate grilled cheese bacon cheeseburger, which is two grilled cheeses with a burger in between with bacon plus fries, you know, fucking of course. I don't feel like you're going to eat that when it's 107.
I think a lot of it
out
is the
in the desert, right?
Like when I was there, when we went to Puzzlers, it was like 12:30 in the afternoon. Sky was almost pitch black. There was a
huge thunderstorm
coming in. Okay. It was warmer, but it wasn't, you know, we're still all wearing jackets and stuff. I walked in there and I forgot there's like no windows. So it's dark. It's all bar lights. And I was like, yes, this is like my Midwest roots. And I'm like, we don't get that out here. Like that kind
of sun.
Yeah. But it was just really cool to see all the people I saw. I saw friends from the old radio station. I got to see David Custer and his husband from.
She even got to see, she got to see, and for folks who've been playing the at-home version of the game, and I, for some crazy reason, don't believe we're turning on too many new folks in the podcast.
Nah, it's fine.
But if you've been around, you do remember.
They didn't buy our podcast equipment. I don't care. You did.
AJ, if you remember, we had a pool. And this pool, we documented life with a lot.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean us putting it up, us moving it, us taking it down, us fighting with it. Can you please update people since you were able to drive past the home we sold?
I stayed in our old neighborhood
with
friends of mine.
So you got to drive past our house. You got to see the pool that was the pool of pain and misery. It did nothing but bring us, I feel like.
No, we talked about that. Hang on.
It was fun, but
it was
goddamn,
fun when it was fun, but man, did it become a pain in the ass.
Can you please update everybody as to how the pool is doing at the old house in Michigan?
Does not look good.
As in?
One side of it is starting to cave in.
There you go, folks.
It appears as though... And so, I've been told this because we still are friends with so many people in the neighborhood.
What have the neighbors said?
They're like, I don't think they've ever gone in it.
That's right. Folks.
And if they have, like, it is because they're like, you guys were in it all the time. Like, we'd see you in it. They're like, we have never seen them in the pool. From what I gather, because I had seen pictures of it before where, like, the same cover was on it that we had put on it the year we left. Mm-hmm. This year, the cover was off. However, the water level was so low, you couldn't see it.
Nice.
And I think what's happening is they're just letting the pool fall apart. And it really... I
mean, you can do that yourself, by the way. You can actually knock it down.
I know, and
if you don't want...
In case you didn't know, those above-ground pools are actually... And I'm not saying you have to do it yourself. They're not a huge deal to put up and take down. Like, we watched them do it.
There's actually, if you didn't know, and this is for everything in life, right? There's a decent resale market for those pools.
Hell yeah.
If you actually take them down and they're in reusable condition, you can easily sell that to someone to put up in their backyard at a discount.
It did just break my heart a little bit because I'm like, oh man, like it was my dream to have a pool at my house. And that was like the pool. And it just made me a little bit sad. It was weird driving by our old house because my instinct was to pull in the driveway just because we lived on a corner.
Yeah.
So it was just a quick little veer to the right to get in the driveway. The basketball hoop is no longer there.
Oh, no shit.
Gone, yeah.
Took down the hoop, huh?
What I did like seeing is that all the plants we planted and all the bushes and the trees, everything is growing and it's manicured.
Nice.
But it's just cool to see like those trees on the side of the garage that were so tiny when we put them in, they're like almost up to the address now.
You know what it's like? Neat. It's like,
but it's definitely weird because you still look at it like it's your house.
It's like when you see that X out that you used to bang in your early 20s. You remember that?
Yes.
That party X. And you're like, that party X has a lot going for them. But they just need to figure their shit out, right? And then one day you see that party X 13 years later, and they have a nice suit and tie on. It's Easter Sunday, and they're out with their wife and their two little kids in the bonnet. And you go, look at that. They grew up, and they turned into what they were supposed to be. So you got to see all those beautiful bushes.
That was really cool.
That you busted your ass for. You don't get to smell the flowers.
I don't.
But you get to look at it from the curb.
There was also two huge trees behind our house that I loved because there were not a lot of trees in our neighborhood.
Are they still there?
Yes.
So you did confirm.
Yeah, they kind of framed our house. It was so beautiful. But yeah, they dropped a shit ton of leaves. And one of our neighbors always alluded to like, hey, can you cut that down?
He was always very interested. Like, so what? What you gonna do with that tree, huh? Like
nothing.
It was always kind of like, yeah, you like it, you don't like it.
It's on my property and I love it. And I'm sorry it dropped some leaves on your lawn. But yeah, they're both still there. They tower above the house. It's gorgeous.
Wow.
So it was really cool. Like I said, it felt like I never left. It was really, and we talked about that too. Me and my friend Carrie and Sean, who I stayed with, she used to do my hair. That it was very dreary when I was there. The only day the sun came out was Easter Sunday when I was leaving.
But of course.
She said there was like a 3-week period where she looked outside and she's like, I understand why people go south. Because she has family in Arizona. And she's like, it was just, there was no sun for weeks at a time. But yeah, I miss Michigan. It's just a different vibe, a different feel.
And she brought back apple cider donuts.
Donuts.
That was nice. Thank you.
Fudge. Good shit. It's so good. All of it.
How are all the old weed shops? All my old weed shops open?
Yes. That was one thing that didn't close during the pandemic.
The barn still open?
The barn is still open. Yeah.
Sweet.
That little organic, Joe's Organic Brew or something on the corner?
Yeah, but
then I'm not even sure that was open when we were there. It's just the sign is still up too, but there's nobody there.
I knew it was getting sold. It was actually, it was right there on the corner of Center and what's that, Bristol?
Yeah.
It was Organic Joe's. This is how I became like Larry David in mid-Michigan. I'd go around to places and just talk to people. For like
you also went to the barn a lot, which is right behind it.
But Organic Joe's, was a grow shop, but it was also, because there's a million grow shops in mid-Michigan, it was half grow shop and half like craft beer.
I couldn't understand what it was doing like, with the brew stuff.
Yeah,
I get
like
it now.
People that make beers. Like my brother did that shit for a while. I think didn't your cousin do that for a while? Right? It's like every white dude over the age of 35 in a cold weather state. You eventually get married and have kids, and you're like, I'm gonna make my own a pale ale.
It's like Hank from Breaking Bad with his little brewery in his garage.
So apparently, this the grow shop side was doing no business.
Okay.
It made no money. There are, like I said, a million places where we're selling people equipment and stuff to grow weed. But the other side of the business was doing gangbusters. But the dude who owned it, Organic Joe, he got offered a gig because he was a chef by trade.
Okay.
He got offered a gig in Traverse City.
Oh.
Being the head chef of like some fucking restaurant up there, right?
That's
like,
I would go to.
Right. So like apparently he left to go up there. He attempted to leave it in the hands of his parents. His parents flat out were like, dude, at 62, I did not fucking see myself running this place. They're like, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
What am I doing?
They're like, people come in here and I'm like, I don't know. You need to Google it. So I remember they were desperately trying to, I think that they were trying to sell it to me. They were trying to sell it to anyone. They're like, if you are into this, there's a built-in crowd. And they said the brewery people were almost trying to buy it themselves because apparently it was the only place that had that kind of craft beer shit. They said like in like a 4-county radius, you had to apparently,
really?
You had to either go to like Lansing, Detroit. Not even Saginaw had anything.
Wow.
For a state that like is trying to, or was trying to position themselves as like the new craft beer state for a while. I don't know if Michigan is still trying to do that, but they were for a while. But I remember that. So it's still there, Organic
Joe's? The sign is still there. The building's still there. There's nobody in it.
No one in it, right? Yeah, of course.
One of the only things, and I will apologize for this.
Yeah.
I take back everything I ever said about Michigan drivers being bad. Because after living in Tucson...
Oh, were they quaint compared to Arizonans?
Oh, my God. I was ashamed of myself how I was driving. I was driving like Arizona defensive. And I knew I was speeding because the speed limits out here are so much faster.
Yeah.
Like, I realize I'm that person now that's driving like an asshole. But it's because of how we have to drive out here. Michigan, y'all are... It's really... Trust me, I used to think Michigan drivers were nuts. It ain't that. It's really not. Count your blessings. I promise you, you don't know what it's like till you live in Tucson, which has one of the highest fatality traffic deaths in the country.
I will say, just by nature of having an Arizona driver's license, the reputation of our state got me out of a speeding ticket in Iowa. I mean,
yeah.
Literally a cop just saw my license. He goes, oh, you're from Arizona. Dude, we drive a lot slower here.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
I'm not even joking. Thank you, sir. I promise you, it's not bad. I felt bad about how I was driving. I really did.
My favorite part of AJ's trip is when she was going. One, because she does this. We all do. But, you know, me and her do this dumb shit. Where we push ourselves to extraordinary lengths, and then we have emotional breakdowns. And then we realize it's because we pushed ourselves to extraordinary lengths. The one that stands out in my mind the most is the day that I helped produce a radio station concert, one of those multi-acts, you know, the fucking K-1000
Super Summer
Jammy Jam. Produced one of those from 7 in the morning until 7 p.m. at night, went straight to a nightclub, hosted a nightclub night, and then wondered why I was having a panic attack at midnight in front of Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Yeah.
You haven't lived until you've looked at Busy Bone in the eye and been like, I think I'm having a heart attack. I need to leave. But you, that day, I believe, worked your normal...
Overnight
radio shift.
I don't have any PTO, so if I have to really...
Trying to earn that money. Yeah. So you worked from 1:30 in the morning until 9:30 in the morning.
And then we had a guy come over to fix the screen door because our dog ran through it. And it was just, that's absolutely true.
Bulldog problems.
Yeah.
Hashtag bulldog problems.
But I'm like, oh, you know, and he came right, like they said, between 9 and 11, he came right at 9. Yeah. So it was fine. But by the time he left, I was like, man, like I not.
What time was your flight?
It was at 4:27.
4:27.
And it's about 2 hours away.
Two hours because you were flying Mesa. It's a little airport that can get you direct into Flint.
Yeah.
So you basically quickly decide, Lincoln, I'm just going to power through.
I didn't have time for a nap.
And she says, I'm going to sleep on the plane, which, by the way, is bullshit. My wife.
I don't sleep on planes.
Won't even die on a plane. Trust me. If her body's going to die, she'll wait till she's off the plane. She cannot sleep anywhere. Not even in her own bed, let alone a plane. But she tells me, well, I figure I'll just power through and then I'll catch a nap on the plane. You start texting me from the airport. And it is apparently mass chaos because, one, this itty-bitty commuter flight is filled with a very rare species that are quickly becoming extinct. I actually heard that Trump is going to get together with RFK.
Get out of here.
And they're going to put these guys on the endangered species list. They're called boomers. that have stable retirements with multiple homes.
Also known as snowbirds.
Yes. So AJ was basically rolling with all the folks who are on death's door, but they have pension packages from 1977.
And they're talking about it too. The people behind me were like, yeah, we have a house in Durand and a house here in Mesa.
cabin up north.
I was just like, oh my God.
So AJ, you're with all the, first you say, oh my God, the plane is filled with snowbirds. Going back to Michigan, because if you don't know, Easter weekend is kind of the unofficial.
It's starting to get hot here.
That's when the snowbirds go back, because we start getting above 90 degrees, and that's when they're like, oh, I'm going to get out of here. Go enjoy spring and wherever I came from. So first you're texting me, oh, my God, there's all these snowbirds. Oh, this sucks. They are delaying us getting on the plane because there's too many fucking people who need assistance getting on the plane.
That was the weird part. Is like
everyone's in a wheelchair.
This airport is usually completely seamless. Like, your experience is quick. There's no problems. The second I got there, I knew there was something wrong, because I got there at 2:45 for a 4:27 flight. And there's only, I think, two airlines that fly out of there. The line for Allegiant, just to check in your bag, because it wouldn't let me check in online for some reason. So it's wrapped around. I mean, I'm like, holy shit, this could be a problem. They actually pulled those of us going to Flint out of line because the plane was boarding.
It's the mass migration.
Yeah. Home. So I'm like, what? Why is everybody going to Flint? I run upstairs. I go through security. A lot of the people in wheelchairs were not in wheelchairs downstairs and walking through security. Like, they all of a sudden needed a wheelchair when they got to the gate. So, and as the daughter of a disabled person who has needed a wheelchair her whole life, I did question it a bit. There was two rows, at least probably 12 wheelchairs just waiting to board. The gate agent actually said, it's going to take us longer to board. It was great.
Apologize to you, folks. We have shit ton of old people here. Because they're a little bit getting them on a plane here. Thank you very much, Georgia and Allegiant.
So after
a lot of choices in Allegiant. What choices you are?
After they announced that, it starts to get, it's like 4:10, and we're like, what's going on? And the gate agent comes out and says, we don't have a crew.
There you go.
Which, of course, out loud to myself, I said,
how are they
going to
board all the old people if they don't have a crew?
Out loud to myself, I said, isn't that part of the ticket? Is a crew on the plane?
Well, like, it is Allegiant, so I do feel like maybe that's a surcharge. You don't know. I feel like Allegiant.
They charge extra for the crew.
Allegiant's like, listen, we'll give you a pilot.
No guarantees on a flight attendant.
But, like, you, if you want a co-pilot and all that, you're going to have to pay a little bit more.
And listen, no, I really do like flying Allegiant. It was just like a shit show that day. And then they started talking about like canceling the flight, and I panicked.
Yeah, AJ is basically, and of course, and I asked her about this beforehand, and she does this every fucking time she travels. Beforehand, I go, hey, what are you traveling with? And when I say that, I mean, are you bringing any weed? Are you bringing a Xanax? Are you bringing anything that could possibly help you in a time of need? Because, you know, when you're out there in the world, not in your normal routine, and you're like people in our house who get a little anxious, you know, maybe you need a coping skill. And every time, I swear to Christ, unless she's driving, if she's driving, she'll take a vape pen. But she'll always be like, oh, yeah, I'm gonna. And then she never does.
I know.
And she is getting a hold of me from the airport. Literally, I can feel the breakdown through the text message. Look, we've all gotten those from our partner before. We're like, oh, shit, they're losing it. And the first thing I go is, you didn't take a vape pen, but you took a Xanax, right? And she goes, yeah, I didn't bring the vape pen, and I forgot the Xanax.
It was awful. I was kicking myself. I was so mad at myself.
So you,
I had so much camera equipment to bring that the last thing on my mind was Xanax or a weed pen.
So you're like flipping out, right, at this airport, and you're texting me, and I literally tell you, I say, listen, you need to pack it up and just come home. I go, this is a little bit of a work hustle, right? I mean, it's, I know you, we just told a very great story about how she got to connect with all these
but
people.
But I was, you know, I was, but having it, was it was also last week I moved my mom into her new apartment.
Yeah, you had a lot
so
going
I
on.
Was, it was a lot.
But it was freelance work, right? And I said, listen, people all the time, I was supposed to go see Danny Trejo at the Pima County Fair this weekend.
That's not the same thing.
But guess what? Danny Trejo just FaceTimed all of us in Pima County on Instagram and said, sorry guys, I can't make it because I'm sick. And I go, okay, Danny Trejo, I understand. So I go, if you're having that rough of a time, why don't we just reschedule? Tell them we'll choose another weekend for you to come out.
Which, that's the problem. Yeah. It was so hard to choose a weekend. This was planned in February. That's how long it took us to find a weekend. And I thought, we're never going to get this opportunity again.
I was trying to encourage her to come home.
And I was really ready to do it. I really was.
And
then they started boarding the plane.
Yeah, then obviously she got on the plane, right?
They were boarding as I was on the phone with Pat. And I said, just forget it. Get on. My bag was on the plane, man.
Now, listen. At that point, I go, well, she's on the plane. That's good. And the next thing I thought was, I go, well, she's in Michigan too. So if she needs a weed pen, there's 9 million fucking stores. And then she contacts me when she touches down in Flint, Michigan. And starts going through, as we brought up a little bit earlier, the inability for this vehicle city, and I want you to note the term
vehicle city,
the inability to get people transportation from their international airport. She starts texting me from Flint Bishop saying the obvious. Hey, we got here at midnight. My car rental people aren't there. And I go, this happens all the fucking time now.
I know. This is like second this time happens, it's happened to me. And
this happens, you know, at multiple airports. I'm looking at you, Milwaukee, yeah. Mitchell.
I've heard it. It happens everywhere. I've had it happen now with Alamo and Hertz. And you know what kills me is on the website, on the Flint Bishop website, all of the car rental places say we stay open till the last flight of the day. This was the last flight of the day. And I'm like, they won't be there.
They're so full of shit because then they have a local fucking manager who is held to a strict labor hour guideline.
Yeah.
And they tell him, if you fucking go over 1 hour in your labor costs, we will be up your asshole. And I hate that shit.
Did I tell you they tried to blame it on me?
I have no doubt.
They were like, well, you didn't have a flight attached to your car rental, so we didn't know we had to wait for you.
This is why I'm currently banned from renting from one rental car agency, okay?
It's like the bane of my existence. I hate car rental places.
But so you show up at Flint Bishop, you tell me, hey, even though I have a car rental reservation, the car rental place is not open. So you said, hey, no big deal. I'm just going to catch an Uber.
I didn't want to call my friends. Yeah. It was so late. The plane was delayed. I was like, I'll just catch an Uber. I cannot believe that neither Uber or Lyft could find any drivers anywhere to get me from the airport to my friend's house.
She opened up her Uber Lyft app. And yes, as you just said, there was no one willing to take a ride.
I'm like, I have money. Please take me somewhere. I'm so tired.
And she starts texting me. And she starts telling me, she goes, all right, listen. The airport just called Mr. Bill. And I go, who the fuck is Mr. Bill? And she goes, I guess he's Mr. Bill, the airport guy. He will come pick you up. He said it's going to be like half an hour. I felt like you were stuck in the scene from The Office when they all get locked in.
Yes, yes.
And they have to call the security guard
after hours
to have him open up the parking lot so they can all leave. And they keep calling him and he goes, yeah, I'm on my way. You had to call Mr. Bill, the airport man. Mr. Bill, the airport man said, I'll be there in half an hour. Half an hour is more like 45 minutes. Who the fuck was Mr. Bill? Was he in an actual cab or did a man in a minivan just pull up and be like, yep, hop on in?
The latter.
Goddamn, yes. Right. I fucking
white,
knew it.
It's a white like passenger van. Now, he has been. Here's the thing, though, and here's how I was like, I'll give you a
can
pass.
Can you tell me about Mr. Bill? How did this honestly start?
I went. There was one car rental counter open, not mine. So yes. I walked up to her, and I'm like, I'm at a loss. I'm like, can I rent a car from you for the night? Because I can't get out of here.
You're like, can I pay you money to drive me somewhere?
Seriously.
Right now?
And she goes, oh, here's, we'll just call him Mr. Bill. She goes, here's Mr. Bill's card. She goes, we have Mr. Bill. I'm like, what?
We have Mr. Bill.
What's Mr. Bill? And so she's like, here's his card. She's like, he does airport transportation. I'm like, is it too late? And she goes, no, he'll show up.
He'll show up. I feel like he's just some dude who hangs out. Like, you'll call him. He's like, yeah, I could be there about an hour.
That's exactly what happened. So
listen, WrestleMania's on right now. So as soon as they get down to John Cena and Cody Rhodes match, I'll get in the shower now. Come on up.
Then it was 12:45 in the morning. And I'm like, this guy's been asleep for like 3 hours. But he's like, no, be there in a half hour. And I'm like, okay. It'd
be better if he was up and half in the bag. You know, he's like, let me just sober up a little bit. I'll be on my way.
So he did show up in a white passenger van.
But then, hold on. Did you say they then had to call him for someone else?
Well, yeah. While we were driving to my friend's house, he got a call from Flint Bishop Police, airport police. And they were like, hey, where are you? We have somebody else that needs a ride.
I know we have some people who listen to our podcast who may or may not work for the Flint Bishop Airport. This is, we're not laughing at you. We're laughing at the situation. But this is also an opportunity for you to do better. Well, can we possibly get a stable of horses and a carriage, right?
Carriage town.
If we can't do vehicle city, can we go back one further and go, all right, listen. Avis is closed. Mr. Bill's not answering his phone.
Yeah, what if Mr. Bill doesn't answer his phone? What do you do?
But I got a horse that can pull a buggy. What do you think?
How many bags do you have?
I mean, I'm just saying there's an opportunity to be able to fix this.
I asked him when we got in the van. I was like, so this is a great hustle. And he's like, yeah. He's like, people need transportation from the airport.
People get stranded in Flint Bishop all day.
He said that. He's like, it happens a lot, which is why he started the business. So he was cool.
He
got me to where I needed to go. It cost about twice as much as it probably would have with an Uber. But I didn't care at that point. I'm like, I'm giving money to somebody local who did me a favor in the middle of the night. So it was fine. It was just... At the end of that day, I was like, this is the opposite of what I need.
In case you're wondering, kids, this is why you should give your Gen X and millennial parents a pass for when they used to drink and drive. Because, listen, we couldn't.
Not a pass. No,
we get one. Listen, we would have either had to do that or walk through a frozen fucking field and probably die, okay? We were Midwestern people.
So
I'm just saying, you guys now think you just shout to the magic phone and a fucking genie shows up and then take. Listen, my kid.
I lived in that world that night where the genie doesn't show up and it was scary.
My kid is so West Coast hip now. He's like, where's the fucking Waymo? I don't even want an Uber with a person. I don't want a fucking computer to take me somewhere.
I'm just saying, if you live in the Flint area and you need some extra cash, there is a demand for Uber and Lyft drivers brought to and from the airport. If you just want to stay there and wait, it will come. The business will come to you.
And I mean, once again, this is why I love you, Flint, because the rest of the world changes. But Flint bullshit stays the same.
Sometimes it's refreshing. It's refreshing.
It's such a Flint bullshit answer. Like, yeah, man, no one wants to do Uber and Lyft.
That's what they said to me. They're like, nobody does that. They're like, on weekends from downtown, maybe, but not weeknights.
The Pat and AJ Podcast Network is available on all your favorite audio platforms. Subscribe today. Follow Pat and AJ on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook now at Pat and AJ. PatandAJ.com. Support the Pat and AJ Podcast Network today by donating on Venmo or Cash App. Powered by the people. The Pat and AJ Podcast.